Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
And so I came in here with a really good message, and God's not going to let me preach it, but Miss Karen has got some things to share, and then Uncle Ron, Pastor Ron.
I'm so glad you shared that, because unless there was love in this room and unless there was love in our hearts, we wouldn't be able to receive what you just said. Amen. And what I want to share is simply this morning when I was out on my porch praying for the day and the service, I felt in my spirit I was bombarded with bolts of lightning. And I began to ask the Lord about what that meant for me as a person, because we always take whatever we get from the Lord, we appropriate it to our own lives first, and then we ask Him, now who else needs this? And I can see that it's a national thing, that lightning is coming. Lightning brings a dividing between the darkness and the light. Lightning also in the natural, the stats are 8 billion times a day, lightning hits our planet and brings with it the nutrients and the chemicals, everything the land needs to produce what God has called it to produce. And so I believe that the Lord's, when I sketched out the lightning bolt in my journal, the words I wrote were that it's coming soon and it's coming quickly. And I believe that the lightning is coming to our house, first and foremost to our hearts, to divide the light from the darkness, but also to bring the nutrients from heaven that we need in our Adam to become the second Adam in our own selves. And so the one thing that during the worship, during the prayer room, the one thing that we focused on so much in there this morning was love. And I wrote that down when I got in here, that I believe that the first lightning bolt that the Lord is releasing over this house, into each one of us, is the lightning bolt of love. And we saw fruit of that this morning in the worship. And something hit me. And I began to travail for the house this morning in worship, and Karen came up behind me, laid hands on me, and she said, Karen, the Lord is showing me that He's giving you a key. But I'm kneeling there in the position to represent the house, and the key is love. The love has been something that has been spoken from this pulpit for 4.5 years that I've been here. But I've never really seen the fruition of it, in the fullness of it, that God intends for our house. So I believe He is coming, because we have a, our body has been maturing. And I believe that the lightning bolt of love has hit this house this morning, and the past is gone, and we are moving forward. And when I came here to pray with Ron during the week, there was a word the Lord gave me. He says, we are no longer moving at the speed of sound, but we are rather moving at the speed of light, because our Father is the Father of lights, and He is sending down good and perfect gifts so that we can be the light in this place, in this area. So I want to just release over you a word from Psalms 18, and it's verse 13 and 14, okay? Just as a prayer. And I want you to think about this. The Lord, He's thundering from heaven. That's what He's doing. Thunder shakes things. Thunder causes lots of sound. And we can even tell, if we count when the lightning strikes, how many miles away it's coming from. So I'm believing that God is going to give us ears to hear the sound of the lightning that's coming. And it says, the Most High utters His voice. And as Pastor Charlie spoke about, that His sheep hear His voice. So our hearing is going to become fine-tuned in this season so that we can hear His voice. The Lord sends out hailstones and coals of fire and arrows. And these are the weapons that he sends from heaven against his foes. And it says that he vanquishes them. And I believe that we're coming into a place of greater maturity in this house and the lightnings of God as we navigate the light and navigate the sound and navigate where they're headed. We are going to become the light, like Pastor Charlie said, and we are the ones that are going to bring the nutrients that people need in this land, this dirt, this pile of dirt of Deltona and this county. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your thunderings. We thank you for your hailstones. We thank you for the ammunition you give us to vanquish your foes. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing light and lightning to pierce our hearts with your love. And we just release the key of love. I just release the key of love from heaven today. Unlock all of the locked doors of our hearts where we have kept things hidden from God as if he really couldn't see what we're doing. So, Lord, we just take responsibility for the keys that you give to us as a body. And we begin to unlock those doors so that fruitfulness and all the nutrients of your light can come into this body and into this place. Okay? In Jesus' name. Amen.
I didn't do it on the mic, so. Amen. I'm going to go really fast, but I want to just say this. This is the most prophetic message I've ever preached in my life. This message, that's what the Lord told me. It's the most prophetic message that I've ever taught, but I'm going to go fast. Pastor Charlie has been teaching us a series on the spirit of poverty. One of the messages that he taught recently was on living in abundance. And one of the things that I had been struggling with is the abundant life, because life in Christ is supposed to be abundant life. So the title of this is To Him That Overcomes. What does it mean to be called? Because as we embark on this prophetic school, there's a gift and there's a calling. It doesn't matter if you're a fivefold minister or not, you're called. There's a calling on your life. And it's to him that overcomes. He says this in Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, I'll grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. In John 16:32-33, he says, behold, an hour is coming and already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. It's been 40 years since I got born again this year. I used to say I got born again when I started serving the Lord in 1991. I used to say that because I didn't really count the years as when I was 9 years old, because we think it doesn't matter. But here I have young people, myself, my own children that have accepted Christ into their life. And so 40 years ago this year, I said yes to Jesus. And it opened up a doorway in my life that became hell on earth 40 years ago. In many places we get taught that when we get born again, everything just gets magically better. If you've lived this life in God just a few minutes, you know that's not true. 40 years. When that door opened, we were cute little Baptist people.
Maybe
Remember, we're turning over new leaf, Chief. But we were just little Baptist people. We showed up, and this is not knocking the Baptists, because I love my Baptist heritage. I love my history as a Baptist person. I love hearing the Word of God. It was the Word in a Baptist church. It was because of a pastor that got up and was not afraid to speak the truth in love that I, as a 9-year-old boy, said, I'd have to have Jesus. But I didn't know as a cute little Baptist boy that what I was opening the door to would continue on throughout my life. Because as we'll progress in the prophetic class, the doors open to the supernatural realm in a way that I was not ready for, nor were my parents. When you start levitating above your furniture in your house, right, there could be an issue. I remember watching The Exorcist as a kid, and I thought to myself, and I saw that another movie, Poltergeist, I'm like, this is my home. This is where I live. This is real. And the demons came into my life at 9 years old, and I was tormented, levitated above furniture, tormented each and every night for the next 19 years, where I was held down on my bed and choked. And then you throw in the natural things that are going on, my dad being the wonderful man that he was, and I'm believing for his salvation still today. It was in Florida at Carl Strader's church back in the 80s that I was standing there as a young boy, and I was at the Carpenter's Home Church, and I was standing there with my aunt, and I looked in front of me, and I saw the back of my dad's head. And I knew the Lord was giving me a promise, even as a teenager, that my dad was going to serve the Lord. But as a young man, that was not the case. That was not who he was. I mean, he came in. He was one of the people that came in, and I was 3 feet above the couch, levitating in the air, and he was trying to push me down, and he could not. There were times in my life growing up that I lived underneath my house because my dad was so abusive. I lived in the crawl space of my home because of the beatings that took place in my house. Abundant life. Why did I say all that? Because life's journey is wave after wave. It says in Psalm 42:7, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls, and all your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. And wave after wave after wave after wave began to break over me throughout my entire life. And I kept trying to find the answers in church and in natural things, and it did not work out. When I rededicated my life to the Lord in 1991, and I started serving Him, I had visited Israel 4 times as a backslidden Christian, and really didn't take advantage of the ground I was walking on. I knew the significance, but I want to go back as I am today, because I want to go back not as a backslidden man, but I want to go back as a man that loves Jesus. But when I first came back to the Lord, the one thing that He said to me over and over and over again, because I was so tormented in my mind, so distraught in my inner man, and I would ask God to deliver me, because how many of you have heard the stories of the drug addict or the alcoholic that He instantly delivers and they're totally set free? I wanted that. And He wasn't giving it to me. And so we'd have these intense conversations, okay, about why I was frustrated with that. And His response every time was, son, I'm going to make you an overcomer through Jesus Christ. What does that even mean? And for years, that's all He would say. Every time I would get to this place of frustration, this place of failure, this place of compromise, He would say, I'm going to make you an overcomer through Jesus Christ. But do you know wave after wave after wave in our lives? And I don't want to minimize the fact that there were positive things that were going on, right? There are positive things that happened in our Christian walk. And I have many of those stories where God supernaturally breaks in. But when, even with that happening, when you have areas in your life that there's compromise in, that wave seems to roll out all the good things that happen. I'd like to tell you what we called it in the Navy. We got a bunch of attaboys, but one aw something wiped them all out. And that's how I felt as a Christian. I had a bunch of attaboys from the Lord, but these waves kept coming, wiping out the attaboys because of my lack of identity in Christ. I was not living abundantly. Let's fast forward. So 39 years of unending rejection, pain, humiliation, heartache, condemnation, and shame. 39 years. That's what it's felt like. Listen, I'm just going to get blunt. When I came and met Charlie for the first time, Pastor Charlie, I'm getting used to that. He was just Charlie then, okay? Because he's Pastor Charlie now. I did not want to meet him. I really seriously had no desire to meet another leader in the body of Christ. We've probably all been there once or twice. If you've been doing this for a minute, I didn't want to meet him. And come to find out, he didn't want to meet me. At least we agreed on something. We agreed on something. But there was an instant connection that took place. There, you know, that spark of hope that shows up on the inside of it, of you sometimes. There's just a little spark of hope. But see, I've had the spark of hope before. And then the other shoe drops. Come on, does anybody else, it's just me, the other shoe drops and you're like, well, here we are again. And so as much as I enjoyed the connection, as much as I enjoyed the spark, I was just waiting on the other shoe to drop. I was like that dog that gets beaten, you know, and you know, the minute you raise your voice, it cowers in fear. Right? So, I didn't realize that about 7 years ago that I started on a journey of decline where my heart was growing colder and colder. See, when Charlie talked about Lazarus, you know, Jesus waited a couple extra days. He didn't run out the minute he got word that his friend was sick. He didn't just drop what he was doing. He said he waited an extra couple of days. And by that time, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. He was stinky. And that's kind of how I felt pretty much all of last year. Stinky. 2018 just absolutely was the wave that did me in. That's the God's honest truth. It was the wave that did me in. I didn't want to ever get up again. I was a dead man walking. I functioned on the outside, but inside, I had completely died. And I honestly, I just didn't care anymore. I've never felt such weariness in my innermost being. I just gave into the death, and the fight was gone. Here but not here, present but not present. How do you come back from that? How do you recover? The same words echoing on the inside of me, I'm going to make you an overcomer through Jesus Christ. And I want to just be honest. It was of no strength of my own, what's transpired. But God. But God. So what about the abundant life? You know, God just shows up when you don't even, just like Lazarus, just like what happened in that story. You're not even expecting him to come. You're dead. You've crossed on over into the other side. I'm not expecting Jesus to show up anymore. He had his opportunity. I was sick. You don't know, maybe you do. I'm sharing this for a reason, because maybe you do know what it feels like when everybody else is finished. They're done. They've given up hope. Your sickness is just, it's caused death. And they don't want to be around you because you stink. But then Jesus shows up out of nowhere. And you think he's too late. Because there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing left on the inside. Nothing. I know Charlie saw it. I know we had conversations. But there was nothing on the inside of me that was left. There was nothing in my tank. There was nothing I could muster up. For 39 years, I'd mustered it up in my own strength. And I just didn't have it anymore. While Stephanie and I were home for Christmas on a 5-day trip on a 3-day relationship, a friend of ours called that we knew from 20 years ago and said they just wanted to meet with us. Nothing about the meeting would have told me what was about to transpire. Nothing in the meeting indicated what was about to take place on the inside of me. Nothing. It was just an old friend that wanted to reconnect. But I told Charlie when I got home. Something transpired in that meeting. The ruach and the pneuma of God blew upon the seeds of my destiny once again. And where there was death, there was now life. Oh, and it feels good to be alive. Psalm 126, it says this. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Since December 28th, I've been weeping. I mean, we see occasionally, pretty much every week, where the Lord touches his heart. My weeping isn't because of the pain or the shame or the guilt or the condemnation anymore. The weeping comes from the fact that the presence of the Lord has come back into his temple. What I love about Jesus is that we have a high priest that knows and completely understands what we're going through. Because the Godhead, a person of the Trinity, took himself out of that place and squeezed himself, the omnipresent one, squeezed himself into an atom, into a cell, into a human being so that he could become flesh, so that he could know what it's like to be me. See, he overcame the world. One of the greatest revelations of my life is that he saw me on the cross. He knew me before the foundation of the earth, but I know that he saw me on the cross. And he saw you, and he looks at you, and he saw every moment of your life from birth to death. And there's nothing that you will ever do that wasn't worth him stretching out his arms, taking the piercing in his hands and his feet, and the spear in his side. There's nothing that he said, oh no, I can't do this. He said yes. He said yes for me, and he said yes for you. And here's the greatest truth that I've learned in this season. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure now lives on the inside of me. It's no longer that I live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I think he's been waiting for 39 years for me to finally die. The surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. That's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for the sake of Jesus, but the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. My encouragement to you is if that's been you, he's making you an overcomer through Jesus Christ. When you think it's over and the stench of your life is rising around you and your family and your friends and your neighbors, know that he's going to produce life on the inside of you. His life. The abundant life that you've been wanting and asking for. As you die, he comes to life on the inside of you. When you think it's over, he's there. And this is the word that the Lord gave me out of Isaiah 62:4. Hephzibah. Hephzibah. It means Zion restored to the favor of God. It's our Hephzibah season. It's God is restoring everything that the locusts have eaten, the locusts have taken away, everything the enemy has stolen out of your life. This is your Hephzibah season right now. And the favor of the King is on you and it's on me. It's on this region. It's on this nation. This is our Hephzibah season. The abundant favor of God being made transparent in your weak and broken lives. Nobody ever. Thank you. Blessings. Amen.
Wow. I'm going to put a capstone on this. Karen had no idea what I was going to say. We didn't plan this. I was coming to finish last week's message about the abundant life. Thank you, Ron. He was all over. Wendy gives me a word before church about grace and favor, about mercy. we as a body are getting ready to pick a fight at a government level. This week, in the last few days, I had to edit 12 chapters of a book I'm writing called From Rape to Righteousness. Redeeming the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It's mine and Susie's story. Now, you have to understand, I was really an evil person. Gave my life to Jesus at 5, 6 years old. Got sexually abused by a man who murdered 2 women out west of Vero Beach and died on death row. God gave me the title of that book, 20 years ago. I'm in the middle of writing it, and it's bringing up emotions. That I had been abused, and that I had become the abuser. But then I go back and I talk to the Lord in my, and you know, when Jesus came and introduced himself to me, he says, the very thing you used to abuse, I'm going to turn you into a healer. Well, how in the world do you do that? And I carried so much shame. So the guy helped me write the book. He says, how can you write this book? I says, I don't carry shame. I don't carry shame. See, some of you have heard the story that when I first had my encounter with the Lord, and he walked through the wall, and Susie was divorcing me, and life was going bad. I was addicted to pornography. I was a mess. I was certified basket case. But just remember, so was Moses. You know, so God can float your boat if he needs to. But I was battling and being tormented by the demonic realm, just like Ron was talking about. And I was desperately trying to live holy, not go back into that lifestyle, to fulfill the promise he was going to heal my marriage, heal my children, and restore us and use us. How can you do that when you're tormented in your mind? Because I had given my life over to a demonic spirit of perversion, and now I'm trying to live right and holy, and I couldn't do it under my own strength. And I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went out on the back porch. I said, if you don't heal me, I can never serve you. And I went into an open vision, and I've shared this portion of it. I wrapped my hand around the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I saw his side that had been pierced, and I saw blood running down his body, down his thigh, down the calf of his leg. It came, and I looked up at Jesus. And one drop of blood left his big toe and hit me right in the head. And peace came. I went from salvation to transformation that moment. I'd already been saved, but I hadn't been transformed. One drop transformed me. One drop brought peace. One drop brought healing. One drop brought purpose. I haven't shared this portion because the man said, how can you write this book about the things you've done with no shame? I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't have a loincloth on. In my redneck version, he was hanging, balls and all. I can tell you he was a circumcised Jew. As he explained to me what the drop of blood did, he said, in my culture, the worst shame is to show your nakedness. I did not just die for your sin. I died for your shame and humiliation. And that's on me and not on you. He said, you may have the same Social Security number, but you are not that man anymore. Amen. And it's time to take the cross and add another drop of blood that removes your shame of your history and start making history in his name. And that's what Ron's talking about. It's time to go ahead and die to your failures, die to your shame, and start doing the destiny that God's put in your life. But it's one drop. I'm here to declare to you, he didn't just die for your sin. That's good, but that didn't get the job done when you're walking around as a dead man and you can't function. He took your shame. He took your public humiliation and he put it on the cross, and you don't have a legal right to carry it anymore. And the problem is most of us like being victims because it meets our ego. If you can't have shame of your past, and you can't hold somebody else's either. He did more than just remove my sin. He took my shame. He took my public humiliation. I'm going to tell you the revelation I've had in the last few weeks. There was a demonic assignment against me before I was in my mother's womb. Before I came out of her womb, there was a demonic assignment against me because the devil knew that if one day I'd be mature enough and I would start punching him in the eyeball. And I'm about to get bold on what God's done in my life. I'm editing this book and I'm frustrated because I got a professional help me write it so the masses can read it. I don't really care about the masses anymore. I'm changing some stuff in there. I'm putting Charlie Coker language back in that book. You're gonna understand what I mean. You won't have to fish around the prairie. You can't put balls and all in a Christian book. Put balls and all. It's time to get real. Let me tell you something. God is in the Me Too movement. I've just kind of said, I think we're just really between, I think it's pretty funny how God puts it together the way he wants to. And Karen speaks first, and then Ron, and then me, and she kicks stuff over, and it's all sovereign. Let me tell you something about the Me Too movement. It was started by a woman who wanted the voice of those being abused to have a voice against the accusers. Here's the problem. The political spirit hijacked that movement. And anytime a political spirit gets around what God was doing, it becomes murderous. And I have the answer through my story and through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to not only let the abused have a voice, but to heal them from the abused. I'm going to tell you, don't tell me that you want to tell your story about being abused and call yourself a Christian and not be willing to be the healer of the abuser. Oh, come on, let's get that right on down with it. Oh, I'm a victim. Yeah, okay, well, quit being a victim, get healed, and go heal the one who abused you. The problem is you can't heal somebody if you're still wounded. You can't heal somebody if you're still the victim. I'm tired of victim mentality. God won't let me get away with it. I ain't letting you get away with it either. Just live with Susie for a while. You'll be a victim. Basically, that was my love language, is she don't play. But if you're gonna let that drop of blood remove your sin and your shame and your public humiliation, then you can be what God has, you were born to be, with no shame. Say it. I may have the same Social Security number.
I may have the same Social Security number.
But I ain't that person no more.
I ain't that person no more.
Because I've been empowered by God. From the inside out.
From the inside out.
In Jesus' name. Come on, man. I'm telling you. See, the Me Too movement was that we're tired of it. In scripture, it's basically this. It's the spirit of Delilah who took down one of the greatest judges of all time, Samson. She took him down with a political spirit. Then you have Bathsheba, who was abused by a king and then had her husband murdered to cover it up, and her husband wouldn't cover it up, so he had him murdered. Well, that's abusive in leadership. So you have the I'm not going to take it anymore, political spirit, the abuse, I'm not going to take it anymore, and we're calling people out. But let me tell you what, the spirit of Delilah and the spirit of Bathsheba are, as you get healed, as your voice is heard and you get healed, you'll turn into Miriam and Deborah. Miriam was the older sister of Moses, and they got into an argument in Scripture. I'm going to preach it. I swear I am. They got into an argument in Scripture because Miriam said to her brother Moses, the big one, you know, the big enchilada that God loved, "Don't you know I can hear God too?"
All right, yes.
A woman confronted Moses and said, "Listen, what were you would do when I was 12 years old and floated you down the river? Don't think I can't hear God. I have older sisters. I can imagine. Listen, if I hadn't heard God, you'd be eaten by a gator." Here's the issue. Aaron was Moses' prophet. Miriam was God's prophet. She just happened to be 12 years older than her brother, going, "I don't agree with you." Now, there comes a point in time where there is an authority structure you got to do. But listen, it's time for the Miriams to speak.
Yeah.
That went over well. Some of you going, "I ain't saying nothing." The religious spirit has given the body of Christ a hysterectomy and can't understand why it doesn't reproduce. We're going after this thing. I want the abundant life, which means that there is no lack around me. Amen. If there is, it won't be for long. Because I'll pull from the resources of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll deal with it. Stand to your feet. Who got ministered to today? Say, "Thank you, Jesus, for taking over." Seriously. Say, "I'm going to bury my excuses."
"I'm going to bury my excuses."
"In my victim mentality. But I don't, but I want crop failure, on those rotten seeds. And I want the seed of the Holy Spirit to produce a righteousness in me that will mold me into His image. Not man's opinion. His image. In Jesus' name. Amen."
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.